time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Good morning and welcome to the Pain Clinic for April 23rd. Man, it's 23rd already. I mean, we're almost done with April. It's almost May. Let me go through the plugs real quick. It's a bunch of holidays today. You're going to love this. It's holidays today. Lover's Day, National English Muffin Day, National Zucchini Bread Day. And you know why it's Zucchini Bread Day? It's because so we don't talk about it more when zucchinis are, ripe and everything. So we'll get it out of the way in April. Take a Chance Day and World Laboratory Day. Birthdays today, got a nice long list of wrestling birthdays today. Mr. USA, Tony Atlas, 68 today. Somebody you might know, John Cena, he is 45 today. Moose, he was in the main event tonight of TNA Impact's Rebellion. Impact's Rebellion is 38. Dominic Dijakovic is 35. What was he? D? I can't remember what his name is in WWE, but it's
T-Bar.
T-Bar. Yeah, T-Bar. So we always blame everything on T-Bar, too. So.
Jerkbag.
And Britt Baker, 32 years old today. Britt Baker be coming up later in the topics of things we're going to talk about. I want to let you know Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. We have been since day one, and we still are today. Interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. You can contact them there. Welcome to the show today. It's what beautiful day. Good morning, everybody who's in the chat room. Good morning, Rennie. Good morning, everybody. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. I'm really excited about some of the topics, but let me introduce the cast and crew before we get too far. It's DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. DC, how you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. Hey, Cash, do you know if Salvatore's delivers across state lines? Because you mentioned Salvatore's and Donuts Delight. Can I just go for some of their amazing breakfast pizza right now?
Oh, man. When's the next time you up here?
End of May.
Okay.
End of May.
How about in July, like early July, maybe July 6th? You want to come up?
That's tempting.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
It's tempting.
There's a reason for that, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Also, I don't think so. I mean, if the driver's underage, they definitely can't come across state lines. So, who knows? They expand all the time. They could expand to North Carolina. They can follow Wegmans down there, right?
I wonder if there's anybody we could talk to about that.
I think there might be, yeah, definitely. So we're also joined by Rob Sanderson, the artiste. Rob from Rochester, New York, parts unknown Rochester. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
It does seem like it's a nice day out there. So get ready to talk some wrestling, some good news in wrestling this week. And
yes. Lots of things going on. I mean, this is a busy, busy weekend if you're, because it's not only WWE and AEW, but I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on this weekend independently all over the place. So,
And just to derail the conversation real quick, I'm not sure. A pizza guy, even though I love like the whole menu. I think I'm the only person in the world that eats eggs and eats cheese, but does not like them together.
Really? Yeah. You know, maybe in just a sandwich, like a McMuffin or something, I'll like cheese and eggs together. But most of the time, I don't like a lot. You know, maybe a little.
I mean, I can do it, yeah. But I'm not. It's not my.
Interesting. What do you guys think in the chat room? You like cheese and eggs or no? You know, we got a few people out there that definitely. So we're gonna talk about a lot of stuff. Not cheese and eggs anymore. It's you know. Unless you guys want to, we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. And I said, there's a lot of stuff going on. I guess what we will start talking about is the AEW announced their return to Rochester July 6th. That was, during the show, on Dynamite. It was a verbal, which is, I think is really cool. Cause a lot of times they'll throw the graphics up and you just won't think twice about them, or they'll scroll something underneath, you know, along the line. No, they went out of their way to talk about, you know, what a great time they had here last time, and they're looking forward to doing it again. And I'm looking forward to them. And we knew that they were coming back. We just weren't sure when. We at one time we thought it was going to be, was it May? Early May we were thinking, and then but it ended up being July 6th, right in the middle of summer. Perfect time. You know, kids are out of school, and you know. Yes, they're not going to get the 2 years of pre-sale time they got for the last show in Rochester, 2 years plus. But you know, I think Rochester's going to show up, and you know, we're doing Dynamite and Rampage here in Rochester, so it's going to be just like last time. You're going to have a very long show. I mean, realistically, it was an hour before Dynamite came on, and it went to an hour after. So, to some people, 5 hours is a lot. To me, sitting watching three shows, no, I don't have a problem with that. What do you guys think? Coming back to Rochester, super excited. I mean, it's not a new market, you know. I mean, and Rob and I were talking yesterday briefly about the jealousy we get from our friends who live in Buffalo and other places in New York, because now they're coming back to Rochester and they haven't gone to Buffalo yet. Haven't been to Syracuse yet.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, with that, like, I'll catch heat from this as well, but I guess that's going to be this type of morning. It's not that far. Like, if you live in Buffalo or Syracuse or Albany or Binghamton or whatever, like, people travel for shows all the time. When I lived in Texas, to go to anything, you had to drive like 4,000 miles to get to the next city. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Buffalo has a huge arena. I don't know if the market is ready for that arena at this time. Syracuse could get a show, whatever. But Rochester came out last time and was loud and everything. Obviously, it was a great way to kind of, you know, celebrate Brody and stuff as well. But I think I think this show will do really well. I think a lot of people are excited. And I personally am noticing a lot more people that are starting to watch AEW that are not wrestling fans. Where, like, for a while it was this niche thing that, like, only the most diehard wrestling people would watch that. Because why would they want to watch something that was more on wrestling and didn't have, like, the entertainment side of things as much as WWE or whatever. But, you know, I had a friend who went to Dynamite Pittsburgh this week. I was literally like, hey, you should go watch Andy's match. This is the Butcher Ward. And then, like, all of a sudden, a few hours later, she's like, I bought a ticket and, like, had an amazing time. Not a wrestling fan at all.
Excellent.
There's a lot of that kind of stuff that's going on that I feel like people are starting to tune in. Another friend that's, like, sending me Snapchats, you're watching AEW? I didn't know you've ever seen a wrestling match in your life. Like, so I think, you know, Rochester got a ton of attention. That show that was here before got a ton of attention within the city and stuff, that I think there's a ton of buzz, and I do think it's going to sell very well. It was kind of like one of those situations where the turnout was great, the crowd was great, and this city earned getting a show back this soon. There are plenty of cities that are upset because they haven't had AEW yet, and certainly I get that, especially from a lot of the West Coast, but it's not that far. If you're in, like, most people in Rochester have to go to Buffalo for almost everything, concerts and everything else. So it's your turn to drive 69 miles on the thruway and come to a show. It's not that bad.
Maybe they maybe they agree with MJF. There's nothing in this town, you know? No.
Rochester is a very mid city.
Sure.
I mean, but
it's better than mid.
I mean, but look at the, not to pat ourselves on the back, but look at the Pain Clinic crew. You know, we've driven to Syracuse for shows. We've driven to Buffalo for shows. We've driven to Toronto for shows. If you want to see the show, you're going to go see the show. There's no excuse, people in Buffalo, to not come out to Rochester. But then, you know, to play the flip side of the coin, you know, AEW ran a couple consecutive weeks of shows in North Carolina, and they played all over the place. They did Greensboro, they did Charlotte, and then they did Raleigh. And Raleigh's a huge arena comparable to, well, God, what is its name now? Marine Midland, First Niagara, HSBC, FNC, whatever it is now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, theoretically, they could run it. It's not going to look like a great crowd because they're not going to draw the numbers to really fill the place. But I would assume if you can do it in Raleigh, why not in Buffalo?
Oh, I agree. I mean, they could, you know, I mean, that's one of the things Rob and I were talking about is they could easily hit the On Center and fill that place up easily, you know, and then, you know, I don't know about Albany, but Binghamton definitely, and Binghamton as well. So that, there's a lot of stops. I think that I don't know why they don't write. Maybe it's for established relationships with places they've gone already. That's why, you know, we're coming here first. Maybe they'll do some. They don't do house shows or not really, you know. So maybe, but if they did, they could definitely, you know, I mean, like WWE, I drove to Buffalo Monday and saw Monday Night Raw in Buffalo. See, I went there. You guys can come here, you know? And in fact, I didn't even realize it, but last Sunday, WWE was in Syracuse. They did a combined show in Syracuse. They did Monday Night Raw in Buffalo. They did Albany last night, and Albany apparently was taped for next week as well. So they had like a four hour show, at least for SmackDown, quote unquote, without their, you know, other shows. I don't know what the other shows are, the ones they put online and stuff, but,
I don't even know if they still do like Main Event or Superstars.
They do something.
Zone or
yeah,
Livewire. I don't know. Shotgun Saturday Night.
Yeah, they
bring
do
back Sunday Night Heat.
They do Metal something. Chats. They do something, and they also.
I'm waiting for a Taboo Tuesday, maybe.
They had like this
Velocity.
They had this NXT show that they do on Friday that replaced 205 or 205, whatever it is. 205. So the
Level Up.
Level Up, yeah, and that was a
clip from that because Roxy had a match on that to start.
Yes.
She now Roxanne Perez.
Oh yeah, yeah. All right, yeah. I got a win this past week. Very cool. In the debut match on NXT, so that was excellent. But I do want to mention that it is Wednesday, July 6th. We're going to get both Dynamite and Rampage. Tickets go on sale April 29th. Today is the 23rd. That's 6 days from today at 10 a.m. at AEWTix.com or Ticketmaster.com. And sure is stuff. We're going to be there. So
I will admit, I've been trying to do the math in my head. When was AEW in Rochester the first time?
It was
in October or November?
No, September 29th.
Was it September?
It was like a week after my birthday. So it was like, I think it was like, I was excited because it was like a birthday show. But it was originally was supposed to be March.
That's the trivia question. You name every date it was supposed to be before that. I think I could.
It was, well, let's see, March 18th was the first one, I think.
March 18th, 2020.
Yeah.
July 6th, I believe, 2020. Or 8th. November 11th, 2020.
And then it just disappeared.
And I think from that, we pushed it to July.
Okay.
And then maybe it was just straight to September 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm just trying to do the math on when I can expect them to be back in Greensboro.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking 9 to 10 months, and they were here in December, so I still got a while to go. Although I just found out that Raw's in Greensboro in 2 weeks. I had no idea.
Really? I mean, I'll be honest with you, Raw in Buffalo kind of crept up on us. It was, you know, they announced these things very late, you know, relatively, you know, with a month, maybe month and a half to pre-sale to sell. And it's like, and we're not in Rochester. We're not seeing these advertisements and stuff for Buffalo. So it really was a surprise.
I just want to give a quick shout out to specifically to Raphael Morphy from AEW, because he'd be the guy that basically booked it to come back to Rochester. He's a chart live events and stuff. Good dude. And it's great. Like, I know he was really excited to get to Rochester the first time. I remember talking with him in February of 2020, and it was less than a month away, whatever. We were in Austin for the show, and clearly had to wait on that. But between his job and whoever's doing the live event scheduling for WWE now, I can't imagine what they have gone through the last couple of years with rescheduled dates, restrictions, all sorts of like complications with now like hockey and basketball schedules getting changed to different times of the year and makeup dates and stuff like that had to be the most crazy job. That I don't know. I would love to like do an interview with one of those guys sometime. Yeah,
sure. Well, I think WWE fired their whole traveling staff. Everybody got let go when they were shut down for as long as they were. I remember that. And I felt terrible because these are guys that we've dealt with every time they've come to town here, like with live shows and stuff. There's a handful of guys that I would recognize every time, you know, and they all just got axed. It was, you know, because WWE's like, well, we're not on the road. We can't pay you, you know, so see you later. And which is kind of a bummer, but you know, I mean, it's also, you know, business sense. Yes, makes sense. But it's definitely. But the good thing about AEW is at least they were still doing shows at least down in, you know, Jacksonville every week. So you know, I mean, not like they were selling tickets or anything. Remember in the beginning of all this stuff, how no crowds were there, and you know, or maybe like 10, 15 people were at these shows, and they had to do, you know. Kudos to the business for being around still, because it really was devastating to get what happened, you know, with the COVID and everything. So yeah,
it's weird because there was a lot of good wrestling content put out in those empty arena days, but I feel like regardless of how good the matches were, a lot of that just becomes like subconsciously not worth going back and watching because you're just watching something. Like I'll probably sometime in the next month I'll probably rewatch that Moxley Brody match from Double or Nothing 2020.
Yeah,
but like I can only imagine if that had been in front of an actual room.
Yeah,
something like that, where it's almost like you forget that year and a half or so of content that those companies did.
Yeah, I will say the only thing I really liked that really stands out in my mind probably in that whole time was Bayley and WWE, just what Bayley was doing, you know, taking advantage of having nobody there and yelling at the announcers while doing wrestling a match. You know, I mean, there were some high points, but you're right, it's pretty much forgettable. You're not going to see a lot of compilation videos from 2021 WWE any place, really, because it's like, you know, they love the crowds, and it's like, you know, you can obviously, you know, I mean, I was in Buffalo, and someone, a friend of mine texted me, he's like, well, sparse crowd for Monday Night Raw. I was like, I thought that was a great crowd. I mean, yes, the top was capped off, you know, but that seems to be like a normal thing with wrestling now in Buffalo, you know, cover up the seats on the highest level. You can't see it anyways, you know, with the dark, when the lights aren't on it. So I thought it was great.
Just a stark contrast. I remember my last time I went to a Raw in Buffalo, I literally had the seat at the top of the arena. My back was against the wall.
I was telling my buddies, it's like when I went there for WCW Nitro, where Roddy Piper beat Bret Hart for the U.S. title, which is we're talking long, 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 long time ago. We're talking 1990-something. I was that high, and I was behind the stage area because I got those tickets for like $25, but it was like we were in the last row on the top. Everybody was like microscopic. I couldn't even watch the screen because we were behind it, you know? It was... So it's like, you know, but yeah, it's, I loved seeing, you know, I mean, I don't care. I mean, they're still putting 12,000 in there or whatever, 15,000 in there in those seats. And I'll say one thing, my buddies who went with me never had seen a live Raw before. And you know, one thing they did different, and you know, I might as well talk about it now. They actually do stuff in commercial breaks instead of going dark for like 4 minutes, you know, how they would go dark and then we'd miss all the packages and stuff. They were doing, do a crotch chop like Shawn Michaels, and they would have the camera going around and people would be crotch chopping, and it's like nobody was doing it to their junk. They were doing it to their heads, you know, and it's like, and I'm like, get me, I'm gonna do it, you know, the right way, you know. And but they also had like, you know, they had like Kiss Cam going on every time they went to a break. They actually kept people, which was something new. I've never seen that before, but these guys had never been to a show before. Vince McMahon came out after, if you had watched this past Monday, you saw Theory win the what title was it? The big gold one that Bobby Lashley was
US, United States title.
Yeah, so he won it, and then everyone celebrated, and then, yeah, oh, it's right, you've got that. It's right there, right over your shoulder.
Thanks for taking that theory.
Yeah, but Vince McMahon came out to congratulate him, and my friends were super excited about it. They go, I've never seen Vince McMahon ever. It's like, oh, God, we got kicked out of that same arena because we were looking through him a window through him getting his hair done. You know, it's like.
I feel like Buffalo's an arena that does get a good amount of Vince appearances, and it's always a good pop when you get to see the chairman walk out. You know what? Like, I think when you look around the state of everything these days, like, it looks like a good crowd to me. And arenas aren't like, I mean, look at the crowd for the Sabres, and not just them, but I mean, around the country, like, it's not a bad crowd. Like, just because you're not filling the place, like, it's okay. And a lot of modern arenas these days that are being built where they have like the perfect black curtains that pull across the entire upper level. So when you walk in, you almost don't even see that there are seats. Like, it's so perfect to hit it. It's not that big a deal. Like, it was a good crowd. So I didn't know. But
yeah, it was. They definitely were. I had great seats too, and it wasn't even like we were close or anything. But I was up a level, and so I could see the ring the whole time. And it was like, so it was a good time. I had a good time. I hadn't been to a Raw in forever, and I hadn't been to Buffalo in forever. Of course, I got there at the last minute, so I didn't get to like walk around and see if I saw anybody I knew there. But I swear, every third guy had a belt, you know, walking in. That's the new thing. It's like every. But everybody had one. It's like, good Lord. Yeah, I was waiting for people to stop pinning the 24/7 champ guy walking around, you know, waiting for people to jump on him.
Part of me contemplated if I wanted to be that douchebag and buy a $20 ticket to Raw in Greensboro and go with my AEW title.
I saw all sorts of different.
Yeah.
I saw all sorts of different titles there. I saw titles I didn't recognize. I'm guessing they may have been local ones, you know? So. But yeah.
There has been at least one spotting of somebody bringing their indie belts to Raws and stuff. I don't really get that part, but. Yeah, I think that one of the thing I checked in on some stuff on Raw, saw the Cody stuff, whatever, and then I'm glad that I did not miss the props to that Buffalo crowd for taking over the wedding segment.
Oh, it was great. That was great.
It was so funny. Like,
especially
when R-Truth sang the little part and clearly didn't expect that he was just gonna get everybody doing it right back in unison a second later, and the reactions from everybody in the ring, like that was good stuff. I sent that clip to a lot of non-wrestling Bills fans. Good stuff.
The best part was when
it's amazing, honestly, looking at that. Like, there's so much talk in this area about Bills and the Mafia and all that stuff, but like literally, every other person in that crowd was wearing a Josh Allen jersey. Like, not even just a Bills jersey, but a Josh Allen jersey.
Oh yeah.
And then like the chants and all that stuff. Like, no other NFL fan base can compare. Sorry, 49ers, Redskins, or sorry, Washington football team, everybody else.
No offense taken at all.
I will, you know what? That's the funny thing is I remember what's his name? Tozawa. He was reaching. Yeah, he was reaching in to pull the ring out, and he had a little difficulty, and the fans were doing the chant right then, and it got really loud when we were in the arena of them doing it. So they kind of took over. They got so loud that they couldn't hear each other in the ring, I think, and that's why R-Truth stopped and said, Bills Mafia. I haven't watched it back yet, but it's like him just doing that little stanza of it got them going even more. That I loved it. I loved that because I hated the segment and they took over and they were trying to take over that segment because nobody was happy about that. That sucked. That was like the that was a sucky.
So stupid.
Oh my God.
I mean, R-Truth is hilarious and the crowd made it, and so it was actually not that bad in the end to watch. And I mean, that's the one thing I like when you get shows with Buffalo and stuff too. If I'm just watching a show, seeing like, oh wow, there's a lot of local people being used, including for that segment, it's filled with trying to think like all sorts of local-ish names: Caleb Sparks, Jocelyn Lamoureux, a lot of the people in the ring there were all Petey Arquette. Like, so people that wrestle locally getting those chances. I didn't look at the SmackDown spoilers for next week yet, but I have a feeling be more of that. Teddy Goods got on SmackDown last night, which was great. So always appreciate that.
Yeah. There's lots of if you don't know, folks, I think I mentioned earlier that SmackDown was taped last night for next week because. And it's the one that leads up to the pay-per-view. So it's like it's got to be a pretty big show. But then we know that there's going to be a cage match with Sami Zayn and Drew McIntyre, which, you know, after what happened last night with the the match, what was it called again? They had the lumberjack match with all the guys outside, and Sami Zayn ran away. Because they figured they put him in a cage, which I'm surprised they didn't point up and have it, because we knew what they were taping last night too. But yeah, no, that was I was going to bring that up, definitely the crowd taking over that segment, and it was because it was it was a commitment ceremony. What does that mean? You know, it wasn't. I thought it was a wedding ceremony, but then it was like stupid commitment ceremony, and it was. I don't know. That's the funny parts of Raw, and I do enjoy very. That's very Santino Marella-ish, you know. I'm sure if he was around, that would have been his spot, you know.
But even when it's like an A or a B level storyline, those segments are hard to pull off. But you're talking about what, a D level storyline right now?
Yeah. And so it's gonna curve me a little bit more to talking hometown magic. And I just want to get your guys' feeling on this AEW Dynamite this past week. We got Britt Baker in Pittsburgh, and Britt Baker came down with a couple. And by the way, happy birthday, Britt Baker. It's her birthday today. She's 32. DMD. But she comes down on Dynamite, and she brings down a couple Steelers with her. Now, last we knew, everybody hated Britt Baker, didn't they? I mean, I thought, wasn't she like a queen of the heels in AEW? I mean, yes, she did lose. She did lose her title, and we haven't seen her since until they came to Pittsburgh. And then she had the Pittsburgh crowd kind of. I think maybe the Steelers players with her had the crowd. I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it with her promo that was on AEW this past week. What'd you think? I mean, it was kind of in a weird position on the show too, but it's like I felt like they really banked a lot that she was going to get cheered, and I don't feel she got that, you know, too cheered on AEW this past week, on Dynamite at least.
I mean, I think it was a huge pop when she came out. I like that AEW acknowledges that people are going to get cheered in their hometowns regardless of if they're a bad guy everywhere else. You saw it recently with Ricky Starks, Britt Baker in Pittsburgh, and they're going back to Long Island with MJF in a couple of weeks. Like 3 weeks or something. So, I mean, I like that that's a thing. I don't know. I mean, seeing the stuff of her, like, she got a lot of press attention and stuff in Pittsburgh this week, going to the Steelers facility and interviews and all that kind of stuff. So, I don't know. I kind of, we're in an era where it's not as clear cut, like, face and heel. I think it's okay to do that. It was good to see her back, and I agree that, like, of her promos, the one this week right after a match was not her best, especially for the hometown and everything like that. I don't know, I feel like the booking in general is just a little strange right now on the women's division, but I thought, like, the pop when she first came out was huge.
Oh yeah.
It was the same type of thing though, like my friend who went to that show, like, who doesn't watch wrestling, like, sent me a message, like, with a picture of one of the DMD signs on the seats, like, when she got there, or she's like, what does this mean? I was like, oh, you'll find out. Like, so.
Well, yeah, and what do you think, DC? I mean, I don't know. To me, it just felt like it fell flat on TV. Maybe as it went on, it got flatter, you know, maybe, but it did, you're right, it was a hype, you know, started very loud.
No, yeah, the crowd was hot for her entrance, for the match. But yeah, I even think I mentioned something in our group chat, like, that the whole promo just felt very weird. Like, she was trying to play to the crowd, but also still playing to the fact that she is a heel still, technically. But yeah, it was it just the whole thing seemed off to me.
Yeah, it did.
The promo was weird. And I think the one other thing is, like, the...
Excuse me.
I don't know, like, if you're going to do qualifiers for these tournaments, just extend the bracket by a round. Like, I don't understand, like, these matches, like, it's cool. Like, I love tournaments and stuff like that. But you're doing all these qualifying matches, but then some of these matches are with people who have maybe been on Dark once or something. They're not signed people. Like, I don't know. Like, give Britt a big win in her hometown against, like, somebody the fans actually know, not whoever, I forget, Danielle Camella is her name now, whatever her name was, NXT or whatever.
Vanessa Bourne.
Yeah. She's my girl.
I just like give her a more credible win. Or that's the thing. Like, so many of these matches now in that company are just turning into like, always got to be competitive. They've always got to be long. No, they don't. Like, if it's people that aren't on the roster, you don't need them to get like an 8-minute match. Like, you got
to
make
a Darby match has to include ridiculous spots from Sting.
Yeah, true. Yeah, Sting has to. Yes, yeah, true. That's written into a Darby match. It's Sting in a Sting mask with a sign for Darby.
I did like that callback though. Sting under the Sting.
Bad segue right there though. Like, ratings wise was not. I mean, it's not like a drop, but it wasn't the best week for AEW ratings.
Yeah.
Am I the only one that just doesn't care about Darby?
Maybe. Well, listen. Listen, Sting jumped off the stage onto a bunch of people because of Darby, and I will and we did mention ratings. I saw a breakdown, and it was like two NBA playoff games were above AEW was fourth ranked for their target demo, and two NBA playoff games were above them, and that's it. So you know, I mean, I'd say kudos to AEW for losing to I don't know, tournament games for basketball. So, and they've beaten it. They've beaten NBA when it was regular season. They beat NBA regularly. So, but yeah, no, that's true. And it's like, yeah, we got that coffin match, and then when you see the door open and there's all the tacks in there, and Darby sacrificed his arm to stop the closing of the coffin, you know, stuff like that.
It's weird because like they automatically, like, they've been kind of building up this like Andrade Darby feud a little bit. Like, there's been matches and stuff, but then last week all of a sudden they're like, and a coffin match next week. It's like, what?
Yeah, like, out of the blue.
I'm gonna build that up or like wait 2 weeks for it or something. I just
out of the blue coffin like, match, out of the blue ladder match.
Yeah, and when while
I
we're
want them to start using Andrade better.
Yeah. Oh,
I
definitely.
He was just in the main event this week in a gimmick match, and I still don't feel like he's being used well. Like, the whole AFO has just got to break up. Let people do their own things.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but was this whole feud not predicated on the fact that Andrade wanted to buy Darby from Sting?
Wow.
Yeah. Not that they call back to that or anything, but yeah, you're right.
That's it.
Maybe it's illegal in Pennsylvania to buy people. That's why we didn't hear much about it. So, yeah, that. Well, I mean, listen, honestly, they got that, but they also got like the main event. Rampage obviously was taped later that night, and they got the main event of Marina Shafir and Jade Cargill in the main event, which I'm a little bit sketchy on that being because one, it was a weird match. It was like, you know, was it taking place in the ring or was it taking place other places? And, you know, how was it going to end? And it was like, I felt terrible for Shafir because one, I think Shafir is a much better wrestler probably than Jade Cargill. And, you know, you have to like sell every one of Jade's devastating moves. You have to sell like it killed you. And that's what Shafir was doing in that match. I just didn't get why it was a main event match, you know?
So I'm going to disagree a little bit on some of that.
Okay.
I think that I've started to come around to Jade. Like I think I said a few weeks ago, and I never thought I'd be saying that, but I think
so. You're gonna sit in Jade's section. You're gonna sit in her section when they come to town, right?
Artiste is a baddie.
I don't know if I'm a baddie, but she's improved a lot. There's a long way to go. The match, I mean, when the match started, it was like looking at the clock, and it was like, are you really gonna go this long in this match? And obviously, there was a lot of killing time and stuff on the outside. Everybody was wasting their expensive popcorns this week on TV. don't understand, but like. I'm not a Marina Shafir fan. I think last night was the best match I've seen her have in wrestling. And so that is positive. It's moving in the right direction. She can do some stuff, but maybe on purpose, she has no personality, no charisma. She's got, you know, all the judo throws and this and that. And that's cool, but like you need more than that. Honestly, when I look at it, like at this point, Marina Shafir is somebody who much more needs Mark Sterling than Jade Cargill. If you're really like serious about using Shafir going forward, again, I thought the match was okay. I kind of hate that, like, people could see a big net of green balloons when they showed up to Pittsburgh for the taping. And like, oh, so Jade's winning. Which, I mean, you knew anyway, but I don't think the match was that bad. I will say, I thought Rampage was really good last night overall. That match was one of my lesser favorites of the week. I was really looking forward to Ishii and Adam Cole, which was very good. My expectations were set super high from that, from what I heard from people. I loved Eddie Kingston and Daniel Garcia. I don't want that to rush back into Kingston and Jericho again, because just seeing those two go one-on-one, that was even more hard-hitting than the Ishii stuff. Like, that was fantastic last night. So they crammed a lot into that hour.
They did.
But
I got to give Daniel Garcia credit too, man. Violent, violent looking wrestler. You know, some of the things he was doing to Eddie was just
it's so little, weird because, like, yeah. They started doing this sports entertainer gimmick with Garcia. And of course, like, in a way it's genius because nobody expected that or wanted that from him of all people, but he's wearing those goofy hats and he's making it work. I hope it's not a long-term thing, but I mean, that match was just, again, like, they did the whole nobody interferes or anything. And it was just, it's great. I have to say, like, I really like the Rampage's 1 hour. I like that they kind of, it's so fast paced. They don't waste time with entrances and all that kind of stuff. But last night was one time when I really felt like, I'm almost like, can we take a little bit off this show and not do so much picture in picture? Because multiple matches last night, I like made a point to actually watch the picture in picture, which, nobody's watching that 100% of the time. And there was a lot of good stuff that we did not get on, like, the actual just sure. During the match. And I feel like we're losing a lot of that on that show because every match is being cut into by commercials. That, like, maybe we don't need so many interview segments or something like that in the hour. They crammed so much into that show last night that it almost felt like too much. But that being said, I thought that was maybe the best show of the week.
Well, were you a little bit pessimistic when 20 minutes left in the show, they're announcing the main event and it's like, you know, Jade and the Shafir, it's like, ooh, that's a lot of time to give them, you know? And, you know,
well, I was getting especially nervous because they kept popping up like the up next graphic for that match. And I was like, not yet. But then they like went to something, they went to break, they came back, they did the interview, they did the, it's time for the main event. Like, so eventually, like, they cut some of those minutes off, but then I was still thought, it was like, all right, well, maybe this match won't go the rest of the time because they got to have time to drop the balloons and stuff, too.
Oh, God, but, yeah, 30 wins in a row, woohoo. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is I don't understand the bad, what is it called again, the seating?
Bad Eddies.
And why is, like, you know, like, Red Velvet part of that group? I mean, if you figure Red Velvet, you know, would want to, like, you know, fight Jade, and she does, obviously, and Red Velvet did make it through the first round of the Owen Hart Cup. But, yeah, but then they would help her and, like, you know, antagonize her opponent and stuff like that, you know. So it's like maybe Jade's, like, pulling together, like, a crew, you know. I mean, that'll be – you know, a crew from the backstage area more than just the people sitting in the special seats. So I thought it was interesting, definitely. You know, you're right. It was a better match than expected, I think, but I don't know if there was many wrestling moves, you know, in that match. There was a figure four. We saw a figure four. I remember that, you know, but
it's a clash of styles and I'm sorry. Like, I don't know how many years Shafir has been wrestling now, but I think I remember last week I looked up something on Cage Match, and her match like last week was her 100th wrestling match, which is not a small number. Like, I feel like you should be better by match 101, but it was the clash of styles. It was weird. I don't know. I think if you wanted to make a big deal out of the 30th win, I don't think you do that against somebody who hasn't really been on TV.
Yeah.
You do it against somebody who's actually in your division. You give her a win against a name that's been around. And I just don't understand the booking in the women's division because, like, now it's time in my mind to They could have done something with Ty Conti. I don't like what they're doing with the stuff with her and Sammy. Statlander's back. And they're like, oh, she's like a changed one. Well, give her some TV time. Like sure. A lot of this stuff, a lot of these better women's wrestlers they have are not getting time. Where is Mercedes Martinez? Like, a lot of this is just, I feel like being wasted on like people that aren't that good compared to others.
Well, you know, I mean, and I hate to not mention that also Kira Hogan was part of the baddies as well. And so maybe
somebody who should be having matches. She's yeah. good.
Yeah.
It's been wasted so far there.
Yeah, and it could start maybe being with Jade Cargill. Maybe they'll start some feuds with other women because of what they were doing when like Shafir was thrown against them outside the ring, and they were like stuffing popcorn in her face and whatnot, messing with her. So maybe that could be an angle for maybe some of the baddies. I don't know, but. Yeah, it's funny is, the promoting the other matches as well for coming shows. But I do want to mention that Tony Khan did make an announcement during AEW Dynamite this week about a new pay-per-view. Huge announcement. The Forbidden Door pay-per-view, it's going to be New Japan and AEW in a combined, and I'm guessing it's going to be 1-on-1 from each company in every match, which is, hey, listen, it's not a bad idea. Where's it going to be? In Chicago in June?
Yeah, Chicago. United Center.
Yeah, so I what do you guys think about that? I mean, we kind of knew. I mean, last week we were talking about it like we knew it already, and I guess we did, because – That was the big announcement. Nothing is written down yet. Nothing is no card has been made yet. I think so, but we are going to get I'm guessing some great rivalry matchups that we have never seen before. What do you guys think?
I mean, I'm already doing the fantasy booking in my head.
the
potential there is unbelievable.
Yeah,
there's so many matches that I mean, I will say, like, this is the type of show, like, it really interests me. Like, I know DC was mentioning, like, stuff. Like, it's there are a lot of us that are very excited to watch something like this. I also feel like there's gonna be a lot of fans that don't really care.
Yeah.
But the AEW crowd, for the most part, tends to care about all stuff in wrestling. I can't really fantasy book it because, honestly, whatever they put together, I'm going to be happy with. Like, who do you want this guy to face? I don't know. There's like 10 possibilities for each that I'd be happy with any of them. So I really hope that one way or another, Omega is back for that. Ideally it would be a match, but I think there's so much with that. I'm curious to see how they end up promoting that. If that's going to end up being something that gets a lot of TV time to promote it ahead of time, or if it's kind of like a one-off thing that they just mentioned, but it's not a focus of their limited TV time. But it'll be fun to watch.
I see some people are putting, I want to see the battles of the go-to-sleeps. Punk, it's not Kushida who does the go-to-sleep, is it? Yeah, no.
Kenta.
Yeah, Kenta. Kushida just got released by or left WWE. We're not sure if he was released or his contract ran out. But I do want to mention that Jay White was on last night, and then Jay White has made a few appearances on AEW programming, and did show up in Adam Cole's corner for at the end of that match. Jay White being a New Japan champion, I don't think he's champion now, but he was Jay also part of the Bullet Club as well. So we're gonna get that would be the big bonus is we'll see Bullet Club, I think, full blast. And who knows, like you mentioned last week, if Impact's going to be involved in this. If not, if it is, maybe we'll see the Good Brothers, maybe we'll see, some, last chance people getting together for the Bullet Club one last time where people recognize people who are in it, or were in it. So
I think this is the show where they really should do a huge Bullet Club Elite, Super Elites, Undisputed Elite, whatever, like find a way to maybe close the book on the whole thing or something, or once and for all, this is who gets to keep the rights to it or some, I don't know. Like, I think there's a lot of possibilities with that stuff. I feel like it would be a bigger deal if we didn't have the crossovers that we have had in the last few years. I think there would be even more excitement, but a lot of these, like, we've seen Jay White in the States. We've seen some of this stuff happening. You know, obviously New Japan just had a pay-per-view from Suburban Chicago last weekend. Like, New Japan's also got a show coming up in DC before that. Like, there's a lot of, I think fans are more familiar with some of these wrestlers, which helps build the excitement. But at the same time, we've kind of seen, we saw Kenny show up on Dynamite once. Like, we've seen some of that stuff. So it's not as shocking as if there hadn't already been a relationship. But to me, it's an announcement that delivered. A lot of people are complaining about, you know, oh, it's another announcement. I mean, the announcements always end up being good in the end. I know it's kind of like repetitive. It always be like he could, maybe Tony Khan could just make an announcement and not like we have to announce that there is an announcement to get people to watch the announcement. But I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm curious. I have a feeling that it's going to be a very quick sellout. That's such a huge arena, but I really do think it'll do well. For me, I will only say that, like, my main intrigue in terms of the booking of it is who does Danielson get? Because he's the one I feel like that there are the most dream matches that have not already happened yet, that there's so many possibilities that I'd be really excited about. That I almost wish he could win a match because I can't wait to see whoever he wrestles on that.
Yeah,
I so badly want Okada Danielson. I want that main event.
Top choice. I think that's my top choice.
What about Bushi if he gets back in time? You know, if because he was injured at the G1 show. He's not back yet, but he could be by then. So it's like, you know, there's a whole list of names you can go through that you want.
And people have already started calling their shots too. You know, Kenta did call out CM Punk.
Yep.
Who was the other call out? Was it Will Ospreay? I think called out Pac.
Yeah. I saw that.
There's so much potential with this show. This is going to sell out instantly.
You almost forget Pac was still with AEW. When's the last time we've seen him? You know, it's like, but that's, you remember when Danielson joined AEW, one of the things he said he wanted to do was to wrestle New Japan still too. And that was kind of, and maybe Tony said, hey, come join us. We'll have plenty of New Japan guys around, you know, I mean, get Ibushi last night, you know? So it's like,
I'm just worried that with the show being in Chicago, they're going to try to put Punk in the main event.
I don't want to
see Punk Okada. I'm sorry. I don't.
No, true.
I mean, give a shout out to Punk and Dustin Rhodes this week. Was good. It was fun. I totally agree. Punk is not, I don't really necessarily want him to be the AEW title contender right now either, but that is what it is. I think part of it's weird thinking about the dream matches because, like, some of these people have been, like, we've seen Ishii have some matches over here. There's so much out there that, like Jeff Cobb, like, people that are going to be in the mix that just, I don't know. I wonder when we're going to start to get match announcements. Obviously, the pay-per-view is 2 months out, sorry. Yeah. But there's, and I'm curious even what it's like in terms of choosing these matches. Like, is Tony Khan getting on the phone with, I always forget the new Japan president's name, but like, who's picking these?
There's some that are already there for the picking, you know, like we mentioned earlier, some of the, you know, everyone wants to see Kenta and Punk, and I hope it's not the main event, you know, but it'd be the battles of
Naito and Naito and MJF.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. I think it's also something where I think a lot of people who are not feel familiar with New Japan that much at this point, which I think is rightfully so, and a lot of people are in that category, but it's not the easiest thing to follow when you live in the United States. So I think there's going to be a lot of people who will give this a chance. And then once they watch that, it'll be like, okay, now I'm going to try my best to actually follow New Japan and see who all these people are. And stuff, well,
so. You just got to watch. I mean, if you follow, Access TV has a New Japan show every week, 10 to 11, following Impact Wrestling. And you get to see Okada. You get to see. You find out really early who are the big names in that company just from watching their open. You know, so it's like,
I expect it's going to be a very long show when it does happen. But I also feel like it's going to be unfortunate because there are a lot of people on the AEW side of things that I would like to see get a match on this show, and they can't all get one.
True.
But. There's certain people I feel like that are on the bubble that might not get a match that could really work well with a lot of these.
You could lump handfuls of them in the Bullet Club reunion, you know, and get rid of them in one match, you know, and just seriously.
And would it be too much to ask to get an Orange Cassidy Toriano match?
Please. No, you have to. I don't care, even if it's a pre-show match, like give me that. I definitely want Guevara on that show. Darby's somebody I don't feel like has to be on that show. Like, I guess, like, when you kind of go through and you pick and choose, like, Hangman should be on there, Cole should be on there, Red Dragon, but, like, I don't know. That's something that intrigues me because I feel like there's going to be a bunch of people in the AEW roster that end up disappointed that they don't.
What about Kenny Omega? I mean, that's where he came from. You know, would he be back by then? He definitely, that sounds like something right up his alley, you know, him and Okada or him and somebody from, you know.
I mean, it looks like we won't get him back in time for Double or Nothing, but Lee can be back for this. I don't know. That's a weird situation because.
And that would be a great place to bring him back to unannounced because that event won't need any buzz and a surprise return from him would blow the roof off that place.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, yeah, well, man, that's super exciting that, and then, I mean, until we hear the card, we can just speculate right now. But there's a lot of
the speculation is enough already for me to want to go or put down the money to watch it.
Yeah. And you know, you get the Rainmaker, you're lucky, you know, or you get one of you know these guys. So I'm that's super exciting. And we did mention Kushida has left WWE. Will Kushida be available? You know. Then, you know, Kushida having a rich history in New Japan Pro Wrestling before coming to NXT. And that's the question mark we throw out there is, why did he come to NXT? You know, and especially the last few months with him, you know, in the freaking suit coats, you know, it's like, I felt terrible for him because he just never found his niche. He wanted to do his Back to the Future thing. They never really let him get too deep into it. Even though he still wore the Marty McFly life preserver there. You in the military? You in the Navy, son? You know, so he might be available. He has left NXT. We will not see him part of the suit coat dudes anymore. And he doesn't have a
compete.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
He's free and clear.
We will see what happened. Maybe he'll show up, you know. I mean, I'd love to see him. That would be great.
Who do you want Samoa Joe to wrestle?
So let me think. What else? Oh, so
Samoa Joe, Jeff Cobb.
Oh, Samoa Joe wants to be involved. I have a feeling. I think I've seen some texts from him.
He needs to be involved. Yeah, that's the thing. Is like we can talk about like, oh well, do they involve Impact and ROH and maybe Stardom and all this stuff? And as great as that is, like again, you're already struggling to pick and choose who actually gets on the show. If it's just AEW in terms of keeping from the stateside. But yeah, looking forward to it. I wonder too, I mean, if this does well, if this will be an annual thing or what we're trying to do.
Maybe Dalton Castle would get on the show. I know he's got a couple new t-shirts out this week.
I thought he looked really good. Battle of the Belts. Really enjoyed that match with Gresham. I wonder, like, Gresham's supposed to be on the Impact show tonight. But there was word that maybe he had gotten a concussion or something in the match with Dalton last week. So I haven't seen anything saying that he's not on the show tonight, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go next. Is there's a huge Impact Rebellion show tonight. It's in Poughkeepsie, New York. It's within driving distance from where we are. I'm not going to drive there, though, but, 4 hours.
I'd love to see a show in that building someday. I'm not going there tonight, but
yeah,
the old Mid-Hudson Civic Center, I mean, there's been a lot in that building, so it'd be cool to get there someday.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, we're going to see a lot of New Japan guys there too, as well. There, I mean, we got Jay White's going to be on the card. But the main event, Moose versus Josh Alexander for the Impact World Championship. We watched Josh Alexander small package pile drive Moose through a table on this past week's show. Just a mess. What was left, you know, kind of like when Adam Cole went through that table and he couldn't get back in the ring for the 10 count against, the champ, you know, Paige there. So it was like, so Moose versus Josh Alexander in the main event. Deanna Praza is taking on Ty Valkyrie for the AAA Reina de Reinas champion. Tasha Steelz versus Rosemary for the Knockouts champion. That's all going on in, the MJN Convention Center there in Poughkeepsie, which is not quite New York City. But you can get, I'll tell you how you can get it, pay-per-view at home tonight if you want, but in a second. Violent by Design versus Gallows and Anderson versus Swan and Willie Mack versus Heath and Rhino versus Taven and Bennett and three to-be-named teams for the eight-team elimination match for the Impact tag titles. Now, I had heard stories that Gallows and Anderson's contracts were running out in Impact Wrestling. Maybe that'll have something to come into play. I don't know. There's lots of great teams in there that I mentioned already. In three teams, we have no idea.
Is that supposed to be a gauntlet match, I wonder? Or
yeah, it's got to be. There's no eight-sided rings, you know. There's no
corners. Don't give anybody that idea.
Eight corners. It's the hexagon or the polygon. we got Jonah versus Ishii. Look, Ishii's back, from this past week. He's going to be taking on Jonah. Jay White, Steve Macklin versus Sabin in a triple threat. ROH champion Gresham versus Eddie Edwards. Trey Miguel versus Ace Austin versus Mike Bailey for the X Division title. And those guys have been burning down the house, man. Miguel, all these guys are like freaking put on great X Division matches. And, and Madison Rain.
Yeah, that's one heck of a pre-show
match. Oh, yeah, sorry, that's a pre-show match, too. There's another one there, too. Madison Rain and Tennille Dashwood versus Cassie Lee and Jessica McKay for the Knockouts titles. And the cool thing is Rebellion. This is Rebellion, and you can get it on Fight TV for $40. It starts at 7:30 is a pre-show start. Main card starts at 8. You definitely don't want to miss that out tonight. If you're home and you got nothing going on, if you're not in the NBA, whatever tournament's going on, or the last few NHL games before the season ends, or baseball.
I think the last NHL game today is at like 3:00, so no excuses there.
Yeah, well, maybe they want to watch
early day in hockey.
Maybe they want to watch the USFL. who knows? I mean, that was on last week, started last week, by the way.
Don't ask for pizza.
Yes, don't. So let's see some other things. We've got through pretty much all my major topics. I'm going to go through and read some news, and we'll talk a little bit about the news. Of course, I'd hate to not re-mention that AEW has announced they're going to be back in Rochester July 6th. Tickets go on sale 29th, which is 6 days
Friday
from
morning.
Today. Friday morning, 10 a.m. You can get your tickets. So, some news this week, a little WWE news. Pat McAfee is being courted by Amazon officials to be part of the NFL coverage that's going to be on Amazon. Amazon's getting the Thursday night games, I think, next year. I think that's what I heard. So they're going to get – so they're looking for – and they're going to maybe – I don't know if Pat's going to dance on the table when Boogs comes out playing the guitar. Oh, no.
I don't know if Al Michaels is going to put up with that, you know.
I don't think Boogs is going to be playing guitar, but who knows? Maybe Pat will get up on the table and, show his – and they love it in the WWE, his enthusiasm when he gets involved. But so he's – it's a big possibility they're going to bring him and his show to the YouTube, to the NFL's – or Amazon's YouTube channel, which would be huge news for Pat. Pat gets paid pretty good for doing this show. I mean, man, I would love to you know, get paid to talk for 3 hours a day about whatever pops up, you know. I mean, but he's made some great connections too. He's a guy who has Aaron Rodgers on every week, you know, just shows up out of the, because we're friends, you know. So, you know, we could have it JB. We'll do a 3 hour show and we'll get Jeremy Borash to show up once in a while. I did text him this past week because I was wondering if he was in Buffalo when Monday Night Raw, and he wasn't, but he's still involved. I know he's still involved because I saw his pictures from WrestleMania. He definitely is still doing stuff with WWE, which is good. So that's some Pat McAfee news, if you like him or not. SmackDown next week, I can tell you what the matches are. I have no idea what the outcomes are, though it's been taped. Got McIntyre and Zayn in a steel cage. Happy Talk with Happy Baron Corbin with Madcap Moss. I don't know what's going on. I don't care what's going on with them. I thought Baron Corbin beat up Moss and it was over with, and then they were kind of like loving each other for a few seconds last night until Moss said, no, go away. Shanky is going to be taking on Ricochet. Where'd that name ever come from? Shanky, you know, it's like, it doesn't sound, I don't know, it's just bizarre. Rachel Rodriguez is scheduled for a squash match. This is what it was on my lineup. So we'll probably see a local person in Albany getting squashed by Rachel Rodriguez. Or let's see, contract signing for RK Bro versus SmackDown tag teams, the Usos. You know, they keep saying that they're not going to merge the two Raw and SmackDown, but they keep merging the titles. So I think it's dumb. Serious dumb though. Did you guys see the RK? Yeah, we did see the RK Bro weed shirt, 420 shirt that came out on 420. See, 420 was this past week. You know, for those of you not in the know, marijuana is illegal in New York. It's legal a lot of places now. And WWE actually went to the extreme to actually put a shirt out with, I just smoked your whatever, you know, 420 RK Bro shirt. And it's like, you know, just because of their reputation, I guess, you know, that there are a lot of weed smoke, that they smoke a lot of weed. I don't know.
I'm sorry. It's still one of the cringiest shirts I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but it did come
out.
It's
very weird because it's like, oh, well, we can talk about that now because it's legalized and stuff. But then, like, they also, like, wouldn't let Road Dogg say his whole, like, we're in a PG era, too. So it's like, where's the line?
Rob Van Dam got fined a lot of times for testing positive. You know, you get fined. You could still work, but you get fined. They're still in their drug manual. There's still $2,500 fine if you test positive for marijuana in your drug test, even though they haven't enacted that in quite a long time, apparently.
The shirt wouldn't be as bad to me if they didn't include the image on the back.
Yeah.
Like, if you just want to have the plain black shirt with the front, it says RK Bro 420, whatever, fine. Yeah. But that stupid snake with the hair and the hat, and the fact that it just says, I just smoked your ass with like 7 or 8 S's. Like, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I bet you they sold a few because,
I wonder if the $100 Vince McMahon t-shirt is selling.
You remember when they used to fine people for testing positive from, like I said, Rob Van Dam probably should get his money back because he was paying, it was an automatic fine that he would pay all the time because he knew he was going to get, he was going to test positive. I mean, oh well. So that happened this past week. 420 was a big day, I guess. So this is really cool. I believe it's on, is it on Dynamite this week? We're going to get FTR taking each other on. Harwood versus Cash Wheeler. And what's even cooler is they got, I guess, Bret Hart's going to be managing them at a big time wrestling show this weekend, I think it is. So, and you know, if you know these guys, you know that Bret Hart is like their token idol for wrestling, you know, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that. They have a lot. They loved Bret Hart. He was an inspiration for both of them, and they're going to be wrestling each other. So I think that's cool. I mean, I'm kind of excited about this. I hope it doesn't start anything because, I like these guys as a team and, you know, I don't
know. The news this week has me a little intrigued at what's going on.
Yeah.
The fact that it seems like AEW's really been pushing to get Brett in, and now there's rumors that Brett has signed another Legends deal, and WWE's pushing hard to get FTR back.
They didn't know what to do with him when they had him the first time, you know?
And they won't know what to do with him the second time.
And Brett, I've heard Brett signed, and it's like, because they don't want Brett showing up on AEW when this Owen Hart tournament finals go on, you know? I think they want, you know.
So they want to just pay him to sit at home because they're not going to use
vodka, 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 vodka.
Sorry, we're talking about WWE, so I got to hit the bottle.
If you're watching, if you're listening to this, go back and watch the video, okay? Yeah, no, I don't know what is up with. I mean, Bret Hart is not a game changer, okay? If he signs a contract, great. You know, there was talks maybe he was going to be part of AEW when it comes down to the finals of this tournament and stuff, and now maybe there's not. So it's up in the air.
I honestly, I don't know what the dynamic is right now that like Martha gave the okay for all this thing. And I believe her and the kids might be there for like Double or Nothing. But does Martha and Rhett get along if they're in the same place at this point? Or I don't know what all of that is like. I don't know. You see FTR and Punk like showing all this love for Rhett. It would be cool to see him in AEW, even if it was just a quick, you know, few weeks or something. I don't know. WWE potentially just throwing money at him just to keep him away from this.
I think so. It doesn't surprise me that they would do that. Now that they had admitted in court that AEW is competition for them, because they've never claimed they've ever had competition until there's lawsuits about MLW that made them admit that AEW beat them head to head in a ratings when they were on Friday Night Live against SmackDown. I think it was a taped SmackDown show. So
how do those talks even go? Is Nick Khan being like, "Hey, Brett, like, you want to sign this contract that just keeps you exclusive to us? We're not going to do anything with you, but you know, we just want to keep you away from this tournament that's honoring your late brother that died because of, you know."
Yes. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's tough. It's like, you know, it's like, and I think Brett, he had a deal with the WWE because he wanted his images and stuff like that to be able to merchandise. And I don't know how much money Bret Hart's making in merchandising anymore. Probably not nearly what it was when he was on TV every week. But who knows? I mean, you know,
I just don't understand the Legends deals in the first place. Like, I'm happy that some of these guys, especially from the lower money days of pro wrestling, are able to get, you know, paychecks later on and stuff. But most of these, like, they never do anything.
You're right. What they do is they make them go to like tickets on sale days. It's near you. We have a contract with you. Can you just show up and like be a token superstar there while people are buying their tickets, you know, or events, you know, or like Comic Cons and stuff. They can book people for Comic Cons, you know, but it's not everybody. You're correct. There's still people who are under Legends contracts who knows, you know. They just are under contract and they're probably not making a lot of money, but maybe it covers their rent, hopefully, or something, you know. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people who did not make money in the business who are now being, you know, who are part of the history of this company. And, you know, I think some people don't want to sign the Legends contracts because they can make more money on their own going to these events, you know. Like, you saw that the week of WrestleMania, all the things that were going on. I mean, were we talking about someone said that they make, you know, three-fourths of their year's money during that week or something, you know, with all the appearances and stuff, you know. So, I mean, that's maybe been the case just because of COVID world we're living in now back that, you know, in the last couple of years, because probably nobody made money for a while. But, yeah, you know, we'll see as we get closer, I guess. But I'm super excited for that match on Wednesday. That's selling me the show. I mean, I don't want it to be sold. I watch everything anyways. I have to, because we do this show. And if we don't watch everything, then we're kind of lost, you know, when people start asking questions about it. But so there's some other news we're going to shoot to. Darius Martin is reportedly injured again. Martin is who tags with his brother Dante in AEW. And Dante, of course, got a lot of eyes on him the last time Darius was hurt. Back March 2nd, when was it? February 2021, when his brother Darius tore his ACL. So Dante was all over TV. Maybe we'll get Dante again. We saw him last night. Was it last night? No. Where was it? He was in a three-way match. Was it on
Yeah, he was in a random six-man tag.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, sorry for Darius. I mean, look like he came back and they were ready to start doing their tag push again, and now it's back to Dante being a solo. But you know what? I thought he did great the last time. Maybe they don't need to cut his legs out from underneath him when his brother comes back, and they can actually let him be a single star. Right? Why not? You know what? Have you know, pair him up with somebody, but not Taz. You know, we already saw that, but.
I agree with that. I mean, Darius came out on Twitter and he was kind of upset at some of the reports about the injury. He did say that it was not from wrestling, but there wasn't really clarification on how serious it is or anything like that. But I agree. I've said it before. I mean, like a decade from like way down the road, Dante Martin could go down as like the best, most high flyer in wrestling history. He has that potential. We'll see if he gets there. But him as a singles, like, he doesn't have the mic skills or anything like that. They got to find a way to either develop that or get him a manager or something. He could be a really big star, maybe more so on his own.
Jake's back.
He'll get healthy soon. But,
yeah, you know. Jake's back this week. Maybe we can put him with Jake, you know. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. There's somebody. Put him with someone more his style too, maybe. You know, as a overseer. I mean, he'd be great with like MVP if he was on the, you know, same company, you know. I think MVP would put him over. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But it's a shame. Sorry, Darius again. You're going back. And it didn't say exactly what it was, but it said something he's gonna be out for a while. So hopefully it wasn't a re-injured of the same ACL, because man, people have some people have this the worst luck once you have a ACL reconstructed and then it goes again. I mean, it's just a bad sign for your career, that's for sure. So,
or the worst thing is when you get out of ACL reconstruction and then you kind of favor your other knee and then you tear your other ACL.
Oh, we've seen that before. We've seen that a couple times. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely, you know, that's unfortunately, then you have to go through it all again. And I actually have a friend of mine in roller derby, Misty Maven from Gotham Roller Derby, one of the biggest roller derby teams in the world. Did both in since COVID happened, tore her ACL and MCL and her left knee in the summer before COVID, and then just a few months ago did the same thing to her right knee. So it's like she knows how to rehab it because she's been doing it already for 2 years. So it's a tough thing to get back from. But just we'll finish up here real soon. Impact, there was Impact news. The 2022 Impact Slammiversary pay-per-view scheduled for Sunday, June 19th. It's going to take place in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's also, we're talking the Monday, that they're going to do taping Monday the 20th, but it will mark the exactly 20 years since the promotion first launched as NWA TNA. I remember watching the pay-per-view in my living room here, watching NWA TNA, the very first one, two-hour pay-per-view Wednesday night. So they're going to be celebrating 20 years. So we're going to see, I think this year's Slammiversary is going to have a huge amount of people making cameos. Remember, they had The Rock do something. What was it 2 years ago? They had The Rock cut a video for him because of Ken Shamrock was going into the Hall of Fame. Ken Shamrock being their first champion. This year coming up, yeah, their very first one was June 19th, 2002. Man, it seems like it was yesterday, you know, but I think that's pretty cool that they made it for 20 years. I will say, Tara, stop. So my dog's barking. So, I will say one thing, Eric Bischoff, and as much as, you know, he's a pompous blowhard, whatever he is, and he's not really, he's a businessman. He came out and said that he doesn't put Impact up with any of the other team on any of the other companies because Impact doesn't merchandise. Impact doesn't, you know, they don't merchandise their wrestlers. They don't sign them to merchandise contracts. They're not with a contract with a merchandising company to put out Impact wrestling shirts, Impact wrestling products, and that's been that way for a while. They used to do that. They used to. I mean,
did they ever do action figures?
I don't know.
They did the one video game in like 2008, but
I don't remember. Yeah. I know that I have posters. I have. I don't think they did action figures. Boy, That's a big miss if they did, because remember, they spent a lot of money for Hogan and Bischoff.
Even, I mean, look at, like, AEW is getting a lot of attention right now between all the action figures, the Upper Deck trading cards. Like, never really thought about that. For TNA, for Impact to be around as long as it has, I mean, that's kind of a good point. Like, how you get more into the mainstream, get more people to find out about your product that's on a channel that nobody really goes to.
Yeah, and you're not selling action figures, and you're not selling, you know, DVDs, you know. I mean, they don't do that anymore, but, I mean, you're not selling merchandise. So, yeah, and Eric Bischoff, I thought about it for a while after he said that, and it's like, you know what? He's right. I know when it was TNA, they did have a deal with Toy Biz. I know that they did have, and they did put out some products, but he's exactly right. So it's like he said, if he would go anywhere, it wouldn't be to one of these places that don't have merchandising deals, you know, for the, you know, and I had to think about it, but he's right. And it's like, it's a shame, because they have some serious, excellent wrestlers who they could definitely make action figures and do stuff with, but they aren't, you know, they're not getting in that business side of it, you know. It's a shame, but
you look at the different wrestling companies, Impact is the one that, like, if you look at the ratio of, like, really good wrestlers to TV ratings or attention, it's, like, not even close to other companies on that. Like, they have so much talent there, but it's not relevant at all compared to the big two, really. And we'll see what happens with ROH, team and stuff like that, but I mean, it's a shame for all those really, really, really good people in Impact that they just don't really get any attention out there. But
yeah,
I mean, you look at those ratings charts of, like, SmackDown, Raw, Dynamite, Rampage, and then you look way down on the chart and there's Impact, and it's like, that sucks. Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, they're not on.
They could find a better deal.
They're not on a channel which you get for free in a lot of cables. I mean, a lot of cable acts, you know. That's Access TV is like one you have to pay extra for, you know, for a lot of places. Yeah,
we don't have that right now because we switched over to YouTube TV. It's not on there, so you have to find other ways.
You can go to their Impact website and watch their shows there too as well, but it's like you have to pay $5 a month or something, I think. But yeah, so yeah, that's, and you know, the funny thing is I love that. I remember how we were so behind them when they first started, because we had friends there, guys who like were after WCW was bought out by WWE at the time, I think it was. We have friends, JB, we had all these guys that were working there, Bob Ryder, that needed jobs. And so, and they went from WCW right to with Jeff Jarrett to, you know, creating TNA. And it's like, It's a shame.
It's crazy just to think. I mean, we'll talk about it more, I'm sure, in a couple of months. But, like, the fact that it's gone through so many changes that it doesn't often feel like the same company as a year or 2 years prior each time. But in 2002, if you asked us, like, if TNA was going to still be around in 2022, I mean, look how many companies have come and gone. Like, that's crazy to me that it has lasted.
Yeah. And especially with, like, if you said, if, you know, Jeremy Borash was going to be working for WWE and a bunch of the, you know, in Chris Park was going to be working for all these guys who used to, you know, were mainstays with the company, you know,
and Styles, once he finally got him.
Yeah. There's, you know, you said, and so, you know, kudos to them, you know, running on a shoestring budget, putting these things together. But also those guys are, you know, I mean, they don't have exclusive contracts with Impact, so they can pretty much do a lot of things they want to do. And there's money to be made traveling on the weekends, wrestling still. We know it because this weekend there's a bunch of things going on, you know, GCW is going on, a couple different places. And
GCW and Northeast tonight and the Impact pay-per-view and bunch of others. Last night had a ton too with AIW and stuff. Yeah, that's one thing that's really big, I think, for these companies outside of WWE is that they're allowed to work elsewhere. I really think it doesn't just benefit the wrestlers, but it benefits the companies that get more exposure when their talent go into these smaller town or smaller shows or whatever. It's one thing that WWE's never really allowed, and I get that, but it's good to see that, like, Impact doesn't restrict their talent. stuff like that. Yeah. And the AEW lets their guys do it.
Yeah, look at Gresham. I mean, Gresham is, you know, he works for Tony Khan now, but he also has his own wrestling company, and he's defended that belt on every show he could be on, you know? So, yeah, there's ways to make money and by doing that. So it's like, you know, I mean, it's good that even though we're in a COVID world, independent wrestling is still thriving. If not, you know, they're the first thing to come out of this. One of the first things to come out of this COVID world, you know, and which is great because they've, you know, and, you know, kudos, you know, but I really hope that, you know, what Derek Bischoff was saying about Impact isn't a reason why someday we don't have Impact anymore, because that's a place a lot of people use as like, okay, AEW doesn't want to give me a big contract. I need to go prove myself someplace. Impact. And Impact is seen, even though it gets 100,000 views on a Thursday night, according to the ratings or whatever, you know, that there's still individual matches cut out of it that I've seen everywhere on social media, you know, moments like I was telling you earlier about the moose going through the table, you know, I remember I saw that on a clip on social media. So it's like, there's, you know, and it's a place for guys to go out there. I mean, that's where Matt Jeff Hardy, you know, Matt became, you know, the deleted, you know, that's where that all started. You know, he had an idea and he was there, and, you know, and it's a place to grow, even though you're not going to get your action figure looking like you coming out. But Booker T, I don't want to get into this, but I'll briefly get into this. Booker T this past week said that WWE people should, who come over to AEW, should not be wrestling on Dark after Jeff and Matt Hardy did a Dark tag match recently. And
look, another week and another stupid Booker T take.
Yeah, well,
yep. Bingo.
Yeah, did you guys see that? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how many of Booker T's statements I've actually agreed with in recent years, but it's not many. You've got 3 hours of TV a week. You have a big roster. Yeah, it's not perfect in all those situations, but I mean, if anything, just make, like, you have those weeks where the Bucks or the Hardys or Moxley or people show up on Dark, like, it's a big deal, like, for that. And it's not, like, I don't know, maybe Booker T's too old school or whatever, but, like, people do watch things on YouTube. Like, we're in a different era now. It's not just, like, network TV that's the only thing relevant these days. So,
yeah,
I don't.
He should know. He has a podcast.
Whatever Booker says at this point doesn't really carry much merit to me. Like, I just don't. Every opinion he's had on indie wrestling and all sorts of stuff.
And he does have an opinion, because we've certainly seen a bunch of them in the last few weeks. So
maybe he can go hang out with
especially with his wife. He says wife deserves to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. Okay,
I'll give him that one, because it's his wife, and he has to say,
honey, if I'm going to sleep in the same bed with you, I'm going to say you deserve to be in there. You and Coco Beware. Oh, sorry.
Well, at least he's not somebody like, I don't know, Braun Strowman, who talked a bunch of crap about indie wrestling and then got fired, and now nobody wants to book him because of what he said about everybody.
Don't worry. He's going to be wrestling at some Taco and Margarita Festival out in California this summer, so good for him.
The San Jose Taco Festival. Yeah.
He's the guy who said I don't need to go to independence to be in the main and to be on a major company. That I believe that's what started his whole downfall. You know, I don't need to, I'm not going to go out in independence now that I'm free. I'm just going to sign with a major company. Okay, whatever. But did you see,
control your narrative shows that are a bunch of crap.
Have fun fighting with yourself.
Did you see the story? Triple H came out with there's a story of him in an interview this past week where he talked about how they were offering people Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman to the Tonight Show, and they said, we don't know who those guys are. And so they decided not to book anybody from WWE because they wanted Ric Flair, they wanted Triple H, they wanted people they know their names, and it's like at least the people in charge of the Tonight Show. And that's a pretty big slap in the face to those guys. And they go, no, they'll take Roman Reigns. Yeah, I don't think they have much of a choice, but I thought that was an interesting story that came out this past week, because it's like, you know what's funny is I would take any of those guys in the second Triple H, you know, seriously, and you guys always turn us down. So too bad. That's, you know what, you know, it's like either eat the bear or the bear eats you, you know, that's, you know, that, I think that's kind of the saving, but nevertheless, yeah, I thought that was an interesting story this past week because we would get turned down all the time. But I'm going to end this show on one last thing. AEW, we were talking about the products and stuff a minute ago. AEW is apparently putting out a video game, first console video game called Fight Forever. And this past week in Pittsburgh, they were taping the crowds chanting for certain wrestlers that they're going to use on the game. They're going to, you know, they said, okay, chant for Adam Cole right now. And they'll play his music and they want the fans to chant for him so that they can use that as the audio, you know, for the, and I think it's pretty cool. It's nice they finally get a game out, you know. I mean, not a phone game or whatever they were doing before, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I'll be completely honest. Like, I'm not, I was a Genesis and N64 kid. And then since then, like, I haven't owned a gaming console since a brief run with a 360 in 2008 when I tore my ACL. And the reason I got that at that time was the TNA game. And now this year I'm like, oh, I want to play that AEW when it comes out. But I don't care about other games at all. So like that one has my interest.
Yeah,
for sure. I kind of hope they put it on PC so I don't have to like buy a system or something.
Sure, but, sure.
Definitely looking forward to that.
Not only that, like a change of pace, a nice break from only having WWE wrestling games, but not only that, like the involvement of guys like Kenny Omega in making sure, you know, here's a guy that plays games constantly, you know, getting his hands dirty, you know, helping to build this thing. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's pretty cool. We'll see. We're not sure when it'll be out, you know, and stuff like that, but I'm sure once we get an official release date, we will definitely know. And on that note, I think that's all the news that I have in front of me that I can talk about. I just want to remind you guys, you can listen to all our old shows on thepainclinic.net. You can watch our videos. Eventually we'll go up on cable access 1301 in the town of Irondequoit, as well as on our Facebook page. We're Facebook Live the whole time. I want to thank everybody who's been in the chat room throwing out ideas to us. A lot of stuff to talk about. God, you know, man, a lot of stuff we went through. And it's like, I love how we just kind of start rapping and the news kind of falls into the middle of our discussions. And it really did work that way this week. So I want to thank you, Mr. Artiste. I want to thank you, Mr. DC Dan Cole. And it looks like we're done for this week, unless there's anything else we want to plug before we get out of here. Anything you guys want to plug?
The only thing I'll say is you mentioned Trey Miguel earlier in the show, and I know tickets are going really fast for that ESW show that's a month away at Riverworks. Trey Miguel against Buddy Matthews, amongst everything else. I can't wait to call that match.
When is that?
Saturday, May 21st at Riverworks. ESWTIX.com.
Oh, I want to go, but I got something going on that day. But dude, wow.
Well, you can watch the broadcast on IWTV.
I'm calling roller derby in Rochester. I'll be watching the wrestling at the same time, or possibly even
everything goes up in the archive. There were shows last night that I didn't get around to watch. I'm going to check out today. So,
and before we go, Dante, good idea, Dante. Please give us 5 stars on our podcast on iTunes. If you follow us, you can follow us on iTunes, Spreaker, yeah, Stitcher. Yeah, we want a 5-star pain clinic wrestling show. So please, rate us because it's important when it comes to the show. And we appreciate everybody who listens, and we will be back. Next week's going to be kind of weird because I'm going to be in Cleveland at this time. So we're going to do the show Thursday night. So we will be live Thursday night. I will and unfortunately we won't be able to, we'll have plenty of news the next week, I'm sure, because we got a whole weekend and then a pay-per-view that's coming that weekend. But next week, look for us Thursday night. I'm guessing like around whenever we're free, but I think 7 or 8 o'clock at night. I'll post it on the Pain Clinic's Facebook page. And unfortunately, like I said, unfortunately, I'm going to be in Cleveland the time that we're usually on the air next Saturday. So thank you, everybody, who's watching. Thank you, Rennie. Thank you, all you guys in the chat room. I definitely couldn't do it. We couldn't do it without you, Dante, and all the dudes in there. George, of course, you know, I wish my phone was bigger because you rapid fire a lot of comments and they're really good stuff too. So, but thank you everyone. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, DC. And we'll see you same bat time, same bat channel next week right here on Facebook Live, The Pain Clinic. See ya.